Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Gonna take it.
Legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
All right, welcome into another episode of the Ryan and Goodman podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He's Bob Ryan, and we're joined by, you know, you try to be objective, Bob, when you do this job, right? You try, but sometimes you just can't be objective. And that's how I am with TJ McConnell. Absolutely, that's how I am. I'll admit it. You know, we're both Arizona Wildcats. One did a little bit more to help the Arizona program than the other. But, you know, listen, I'll go back to maybe my favorite story involving TJ McConnell, Bob. And he had graduated from Arizona. And I don't know if he even remembers this, but he graduated and he called me maybe, I don't know, 2 weeks after. TJ, I don't know if you remember this at all. And you asked me, you said, hey, do you think I can play in the league? Like, do you think I can play in the league? And I said, hell yeah. Like at the time, Matthew Dellavedova was playing like 30 minutes for Cleveland in the playoffs. And I said that to you. I said, listen, you're not the same player. We know that. But absolutely, you can play in the league because you're an elite defender. You're tough as shit, and you're going to get better shooting the basketball. And now, TJ McConnell, you are, what, going to go into year seven in the NBA now?
That is correct.
Yeah. And the best part is the first game TJ played, Bob, was where? In the Garden, in Boston.
Yeah. Huh. It did not go well. I'll tell you that much, though.
But you know what? I don't know if it mattered. You were so happy when I walked into the locker room, the smile on your face, that you're on an NBA team, you know, playing for an NBA team that day was like, I don't think it mattered to you whether you played well or not. You were on a team. It's a hell of a story, TJ. It's a hell of a story. And again, I'm not objective. I'm not afraid to say that. You know what I think of you as a person. You know what I think of you is how hard you've worked. And you just got to get paid now. You got to get paid.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of just a waiting game right now. Honestly, just trying to work out and spend some much needed time with my 5-month-old son and my wife. The season's a grind. So just spending some necessary time with them and trying to, you know, work my butt off and just enjoy life.
I have to ask you, as a basketball person, I assume you watched the game last night. Yep. Just your impression. We could go any number of different directions about stuff to talk about, individual stuff. The half hour it took to play 2 minutes, the five reviews, whatever. But what was your personal takeaway and an impression of that game and the ending?
Well, I had the opportunity to play for Monty Williams. He was an assistant coach in Philly for my last year. And you just knew when he took that Suns job that he was going to really turn that place around. Now, did I think they were going to go to the Western Conference Finals in his second year? No. But, I mean, the respect that he commands in the locker room, the way he treats his players, you know, if you see the way they play, they like playing for him. And he's taken that Suns team and just he's completely elevated them. And you got to give James Jones credit. He built a nice team with them, and they're learning how to win. And it's great to see. I really like watching them play.
As a fan, TJ, are you like some of the rest of us of like, I'm not tired of seeing LeBron at all, or some of these other guys that have been in there every year, but it's refreshing to see some of the young guys, you know, whether it is DeAndre Ayton, your Arizona alum, whether it is Devin Booker and what he's able to do, or even like a kid like Terrence Mann going off for the Clippers. I don't know. I feel it's refreshing to see some new faces, you know, Giannis, Trae Young. I think it's fun.
No, I completely agree. I was just talking to JJ Redick about this yesterday. And, you know, there's this parody in the league that like LeBron or the Warriors or whatever, they were in the finals like every year. And I'm with you. Like, obviously it's great to see LeBron's greatness in the playoffs and in the finals, but to have the four teams left that, you know, they haven't won a ring, two of them never, and the other two for a very long time. I think it's great for the league, and it's fun to watch, in my opinion.
I got to ask you about a guy that was very prominent in the game, and had his team won, would have been, you know, cited as such. What is it like to play against Patrick Beverley?
I feel like Patrick Beverley is one of the best competitors in the NBA. I mean, his energy is contagious, and people feed off that, and it gets his team going. I really respect the way he plays, because I try to play that way. Yeah. And, you know, I just love what he brings to the table for his team and does all the dirty work that doesn't really necessarily show up on a stat sheet. And, you know, that's great. So every team needs a player like that.
Yeah, well, so I remember as a Celtic person, if you will, of watching you and Philly, I said, he's a pain in the ass. And I mean, seriously, I mean, I like you, love your game. I remember you from Arizona, but I said, Phil, he's a pain in the ass, you know, but not to the degree that Beverly is. He's in the class. Yeah. He's the gold standard of pain in the ass, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I would say he's probably the biggest pain in the ass in the league. And I'm saying that as a compliment, but
me too.
Yeah, but I feel like when you're playing the way he plays, the way I play, just getting under people's skin and bothering them and throwing them off their game, you know, that's an underrated thing to do. If you can get someone to, you know, get three early fouls or throw up bad shots. I mean, he does a good job of that, and he really helps his team.
And then he threw in a little cherry in the sundae. He made some threes.
100%.
He and Rondo kept them alive, and they just wouldn't, you know, we like to say they wouldn't go away. They wouldn't let it, you know, Phoenix to get out of sight. The biggest deficit was 9, and then the fourth quarter was, but they made those threes. Those guys, those two kept them alive to give them a chance to win. But when he's adding on, and same with Rondo, when Rondo's making threes in addition to what he already does, you know, they're really a threat.
Oh, absolutely. Those two guys are, you know, just the ultimate competitors, and they step up in big moments. You know, they're not afraid of taking those shots in the big moments. No. And that's why they're out there. And that's why, you know, their names are as big as they are, because they have showed time and time again that they're not afraid of the moment. I mean, Rondo, what he's done in the playoffs these last few years and throughout his career is nothing short of remarkable. You know, he's been tremendous.
TJ, who's your pick to win it all now? I mean, obviously you look at, you know, Clippers without Kawhi down 2-0. You got the Hawks Milwaukee series starting up. I said Milwaukee last week. I just, you know why? I just felt like they were the healthiest team. And I feel like this year it's just kind of a war of attrition. Like whoever's going to be healthiest is going to have the best shot. Now, again, Phoenix gets Chris Paul back. They'll be healthy when it matters and likely get to the NBA finals unless something crazy happens. But I just felt like even though Milwaukee has some warts, right, and Giannis, the hard part right now is it's hard to put the ball in his hands at the end of a game because of his free throw shooting. But they got a reliable number two who's more than willing and capable to step up when you put it in his hands. So I like Milwaukee. Who do you like right now?
Tough question for me, because I do like Milwaukee as well. But I played for Nate McMillan last year, and I'm a really big fan of his. You know, I'm a fan of Nate. I'm a fan of Monty. It would cool to be to see those two go up against each other in the finals. But I don't know. I feel like people are kind of writing off the Clippers because no Kawhi, but you know, I feel like every series has started out this way for them. They lose two on the road and everyone kind of writes them off, and then here they come right back. So I don't really have an answer for you, because I mean, I feel like the Clippers could very well even up this series. Paul George is playing at a big time level.
We have to get to your fellow Wildcat. I have a category, TJ, for bigs. I call them UB, useful big. If you're a useful big, that's the minimum standard. And I think he's been that. Now he's in the new category, PDG, pretty damn good. And he's on his way to F good. I mean, that he really is coming out before the world's eyes. I mean, and elevating his game. That one sequence last night, you know, when he blocked the shot, made a miraculous save, went down the other end of the court and in traffic made the alley-oop, and then came back and made the back tap on the rebound for the basket, all that within a minute. I'm thinking Jeff Van Gundy must have been going apoplectically out of his mind, because he couldn't say anything about it. They were talking to the sideline reporter.
Yeah.
Jackin', not that she doesn't do her job. And I'm thinking, Jeff, when you think about it, Van Gundy must be going nuts, because he wants to talk about what he's just seen, which is a phenomenal stretch of basketball. Anyway, I've been on the soapbox. Ayton, what's your impression of Ayton?
I have been a fan of him, you know, ever since his Arizona days, obviously. And I feel like with young guys, you know, people forget when they come in, how old is he? 20, 21?
He's not 23 yet. He's 22.
Yeah. 22, like
it was 19
20. They think he should come in and just dominate right away. And like sometimes with, you know, young players, it takes them a year or two to find themselves. And he really looks like the game is just slowing down for him, and he's finding his way, doing what his team needs him to do, and just playing on both ends. It's really impressive to see the growth that he's gone from year one to now.
Today, many small business owners are busier than ever. Time spent searching for and interviewing the wrong candidates for a job opening could be time better spent growing a business. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs has made it easier to get the candidates worth interviewing faster. And it's free. LinkedIn connects you with well-qualified candidates. And they've done the same thing for me every time I use it. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 750 million people. Focus on candidates with the skills and experience that you need. Use screening questions to get your role in front of the most qualified people. And then use the simple tools on LinkedIn Jobs to quickly filter and prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates worth interviewing faster. Did you know that every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/scribe. That's linkedin.com/scribe to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, TJ, give me your favorite, craziest Joel Embiid story, because JoJo is a character. Like, I first met him at Kansas, and that personality is off the charts. I know it may rub some people the wrong way. I actually loved how much he played through pain in the series, and I don't think he got enough credit for that, you know, with a torn, you know, meniscus or whatever it was, playing. And I thought the one thing about him in that series, there weren't a lot of smiles. Like, it was a different Joel that you saw in that series. It was like all business, not talking crap, just, you know, again, just playing hard. It was probably because he was in so much pain too, but he understood the magnitude of it. Give me kind of what it's like to be a teammate of JoJo, and also maybe your funniest or most memorable story.
I mean, playing alongside him was incredible. You know, he empowers his teammates so much and gives them so much confidence. But like, to witness his greatness on a nightly basis it's remarkable. You know, the stuff that he does, you shouldn't be able to do at his size. And to your point saying, you know, there wasn't a lot of smiles, he just looked extra motivated to kind of will his team to the next round. Obviously they came up short, but he was remarkable in the series. And you know, this, I think, you know me pretty well. I'm a competitor. And he was illegal screening me in a pickup game. I think this was like my second year. This was going into his first year. And he was setting illegal screens. And I told him, you know, setting another illegal screen, you're not going to like what happens next. Like, like I'm going to do anything. Like that's just me, like thinking that I'm going to do something to mess with Joel. And he set another one. And for some reason, I don't know why I tried to do this. I tried to pick him up and I could only lift up like half of his leg. And I said, this isn't going to end well for me. And he goes, it's all right, little guy. And I've never felt less of a human being than at that point.
Joel's, he's a riot. I mean, he is. I remember being there for one of your shoot-arounds. And after the shoot-around, he's playing like soccer with the basketball or something, like kicking. Did he do that all the time? And like ridiculous. It's almost like the ball is like hacky sack and he's jumping around, kick. Like he is just so incredibly talented for his size at like anything he wants to do.
No, he's incredibly skilled. Just, I mean, he picks up anything and he's good at it. He's one of those type guys. And, you know, I've seen him play soccer, like, up close and personal. He's always talking about soccer and then kicking the basketball around. It's like you see him just like juggling it with his feet, his legs, and like heading it. It's like, it's unbelievable, you know, how skilled he is.
You play with two of my favorite players. One that I know Jeff gets tired of me talking about.
I love him. I love him.
Oh God, I know. No, I'm only kidding. We both love him. And I'm a huge fan of his father as well. That's where it all started. Mr. Sabonis, who had an amazing end to the season that went completely overlooked by the national media. What a month he had.
Yeah, I can't say enough good things about Domas. He is, I mean, he just does everything. He is our Swiss Army knife. He rebounds. He passes the ball. He scores. He sets good screens. I mean, I've never seen a guy that does so much for his team and not get the recognition. I mean, I know he was an all-star, but I feel like he needs to be talked about more. He does everything for our team.
He's the hardest playing big man that I ever saw in college, TJ. I can honestly say that. I've never seen anybody play harder. And then I saw him at a Celtics workout. And he had never shot at Gonzaga. Like, they didn't allow him to shoot from the perimeter. And I think he made 65 of 100 threes at the Celtics workout. And I went up to him and I was like, whoa, like, I'm impressed. And he looked at me. He's like, no, that was horrible. Like, I'm way better three-point shooter than that. And I was shocked. But he is. I mean, the dude just plays so hard. Like, you guys had a really good team this past year, I think, on paper. Obviously, everybody had their injuries, right? You have Miles. Karras didn't come, you know, obviously coming back from what he came from, it was going to take time. Did you feel that way? Did you feel like almost like the what if game, if we had been healthy all year, what we could have done?
Yeah, I'm not like a big moral victory type guy. Like, you know, if what if this, what if that? But if we're just talking about the truth, we never really played with a full team. You know, the moment we did, it would be for one or two games, a guy would go down. You lose one of your best scorers in TJ Warren for the entire year. And, you know, and we just had to have that next man up mentality. And then obviously we trade Victor and didn't have Karras for a little bit. Lose Miles toward the end. Malcolm was out for a couple weeks. I just feel like none of us could never get a rhythm with each other because of the injuries that we had. But, you know, that happens sometimes and we're not going to make excuses. You know, we got to play better. And, you know, it is what it is.
You mentioned Malcolm. That's my other guy that I am. And I met him actually at a function in his senior year and became aware of his incredible off the court accomplishments and what an interesting person he is. But meanwhile, he averaged 21 points a game this year when a lot of people weren't looking.
No, I honestly, like I said about Sabonis, Malcolm is not talked about enough either. You know, his ability to score when we ask him to, you know, he never takes a bad shot. And I feel like that's, if your point guard isn't taking bad shots, you know, you always give your team a chance to win. And, and he's getting people the ball, and he's a really, really good defender, really good. And to piggyback off what you said about his off the court stuff, you know, he's a great teammate, all this stuff, great locker room guy, but he's just a great person, you know, with the stuff that he does with his foundation and the way he treats people. You know, I consider him a great friend, and it's a joy and an honor to play with alongside of him and to call him a friend.
Best player you've ever guarded is who? Who's the toughest guy that, again, for better or worse, you go up against, you're excited, but you're like, man, I don't want to deal with this dude.
I mean, there's all the obvious ones out there. But I've said this numerous times. My rookie year, Isaiah Thomas, when he was with the Celtics, I've never felt more helpless guarding someone. And it was like one of those things where, like, Brad kind of saw, like, sniffed blood in the water and was like, you know, he scored on me on one play, and the next five possessions down, you know, run it again and run it again, run it again, run it again. And I think he scored on or assisted on all five of those. And I had a long walk back to the bench, and I was like, wow, that was very humbling what just happened to me.
Who's the best player, Bob, you've ever seen? Best defender.
All right, we have to take all the big shot blocking centers and put them on the side. That's a whole other category. You know, in fact, I don't even think that they should be eligible for defensive player of the year, much like pitchers shouldn't be eligible for MVP. They have Cy Young. They should have a big guy shot blocking player of the year. Okay. Dennis Rodman was, you know, in the discussion. Draymond Green is in the discussion. All right. But let me tell you somebody that in my experience with the Celtics, that would be so perfect in today's game in so many ways. He guarded them. It's 6'8" and a half. He guarded everybody from 7'3" and 7'4", could switch off on any guard of his time at any time, and busted his ass 48 minutes or however minutes out there. Dave Cowens was an amazingly underrated defensive player. Oh, TJ, you would have so loved, any of you guys would have so loved seeing this guy and playing with this guy. You talk about effort, but I mean, so there's some examples right there, but I just really believe that defensive player of the year, you know, he had blocks and shot. That's a category. That's a, you know, we're talking about guys who can guard a variety of people and all. And so there's some of the names that come to mind.
And I agree with you. You know, and again, I'm a big fan of Rudy Gobert. But like I said before, Ben Simmons has guarded 1 through 5 the entire year. And that's just so impressive to me. If you're able to guard 1 through 5, it puts you at such an advantage and helps your team so much. And there's a guy that I feel like isn't talked about enough in the defensive player of the year discussion, and it's Jrue Holiday.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He is honestly one of the best defenders I've ever seen. And you know, I talked about this again with JJ Redick yesterday on his podcast, and, you know, I don't have Kyrie's handle. I don't have Steph's handle, not even close. But guys just don't take the ball off me very often. And he's done it numerous times, and he makes it look effortless, and he does it to a lot of people. I just don't think he gets the credit he deserves in the defensive end.
Well, listen, we appreciate you stopping by, TJ, really do. And I don't know if you remember that phone call, but I'll never forget it coming from you after you graduated. And, you know, to me, I'll also never forget walking in that locker room and seeing you in Boston and seeing the smile. And I know free agency is coming for you here soon. I don't know how nervous you are or maybe excited, because you're hopefully going to get paid and you've established yourself in the league as one of the best backup point guards. I know you give me shit still for saying that, you know, Markelle Fultz, they should have drafted Markelle Fultz because you were starting at that point. But but you know,
he's a dear friend of mine, by the way. And he's great. And Bob, that wouldn't be the first time that, you know, in college, Jeff would always say I'm not a top point guard in the NCAA, and I'm just giving him a hard time right now. But, you know, you guys are great. And thanks for having me on. And to talk about free agency, last time was, I didn't know what to expect. So I was waiting by my phone, stressing out, you know, I'm going to take a nice little vacation right before free agency and kind of just relax my mind, clear my mind, and just get away and spend time with my family.
Well, if you want to come to 617, I'll pick you up at the airport. Okay. That's a deal.
I appreciate that. I might take you up on that.
Listen, take care of the 5-month-old, change some diapers, help your wife, because, you know, Lord knows you don't do enough of it during the season. So now's the time. Pick up the slack a little bit.
I'm a hands-on dad, just so you know.
I do know that from Doug McDermott. So I'm well aware. And again, enjoy fatherhood, enjoy free agency, and we'll talk to you soon. But good luck, and enjoy the offseason.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's that time of the year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron and ready to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of the opening week promo. Make a bet. Monday night, you got the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Oakland Raiders. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using the promo NFL100. That's right. All you new customers out there, sign up, use the promo code NFL100. And win big money today.
Man, we got a lot to talk about, Bob. A lot to talk about.
Before we do anything else, we want to congratulate our podcast alumni, who one of whom certainly ought to be buying the next time we see him. For
think?
Sure. I think Duncan Robinson ought to reach into the wallet. Duncan Robinson signed 5 years at 90.
90 million, undrafted. Started his career at Williams College, Bob.
Oh, my God. It's a some story. And our friend TJ McConnell,
yep,
re-upped in with the Pacers. And, you know, I could make do with his 4 years at 32, couldn't you?
Listen, I can make do with our other friend, George Niang, who signed a 2-year, I think, $6 million deal to go to the Sixers. And I think he'll be really good as a piece coming off the bench for your boy Doc.
So we had to acknowledge our podcast alum, our guest.
I drove through Newcastle yesterday. Actually, I was up in Portsmouth, and we ended up eating in Portsmouth, New Hampshire yesterday, driving up there, and we drove through Newcastle, which is where Duncan Robinson grew up. So
wow,
very cool.
Got to be a sign. I think he's worth a plaque now. One of those
home of Duncan Robinson.
Yeah, I think we have to talk to the town fathers up there.
The Lakers can have a plaque now, home of Russell Westbrook. Finally, he's an LA product, came out of there as a mid-major player out of high school, you know, went to UCLA, and now is headed back to LA to team up with LeBron and AD
and Melo
and Dwight Howard coming back.
My God, the Lakers.
Bob, I got killed for tweeting out something and saying, hey, maybe they should be playing in a nursing home instead of the Staples Center.
Here's a roster. I mean, I'm just laying off some numbers on people on their roster now. 37, 36, 32, 36, 36, 36, 34, and 32.
Well,
they got one guy. All right, the only people under 30 currently of any import are AD, who's 28, played the season at 28. Ben McLemore, who's 28. Kendrick Nunn, who's 26.
Malik Monk,
who's 23. And Dennis Schroeder. I forgot that.
Schroeder's going to be gone.
Schroeder's gone. Got to go.
Will be gone.
Gone. Yeah, he was already out of there. But
he's a free agent.
Anyway, I mean, this is astonishing. Oh, and Jared Dudley won't be on the roster. He's 36. I can't see how he's going to be back. I always root for him. Anyway. It is the AARP team of the year.
Here's what I'll say, Bob. All that matters is that one of those 30 somethings is healthy. That's all that matters. The other ones, it's irrelevant. Dwight Howard can be hurt. All those other dudes. if LeBron is close to 100% when it matters, and AD's healthy, obviously. AD's not one of those 30-somethings, but his body could be.
But he's always an iffy participant. Let's put it that way. Right?
I'll say this, though, Bob. My big question to you isn't let's say for argument's sake they are healthy when it matters next year. How does Russell Westbrook and his game fit with 36-year-old LeBron and his game now and AD? I actually kind of – I don't hate it.
I think Westbrook fooled us even last year that the way he adapted to his that surrounding, I thought. I was a little skeptical when that happened. And so I am willing to give him the benefit of the doubt in that regard as well. It'll be I think they'll have the X-player one ball thing won't be a major issue, I don't think, with LeBron and AD and him. I think he did fool us a little bit while he was willing to become the distributor, really, first, and score second.
All right, here's another one for you. Would you, if you are the Phoenix Suns and James Jones and Robert Sarver, because I'm sure they couldn't have done this move without Robert Sarver doing this, would you have paid one Chris Paul 4 years, $120 million. He is LeBron's age.
He's 36.
Right. So you're talking about paying somebody at 40 years old or 39 turning 40, $30 million. Now, again, you're playing for the title. That's what you're doing here. You're saying, like, without Chris Paul, we don't have a chance of winning this whole thing. We have no choice. We have to pay Chris Paul basically for the next 2 years, thinking that we have a chance maybe to win a title. And the last two, we're going to have some problems.
Well, and we do know there was a market. He had people that would definitely had wanted him. Starting in Madison Square Garden. I know that they were throwing that one around. Yet you say to yourself, was it necessary 4 years? Oh my God, he'll be 40. How many? Name me a 40-year-old point guard.
There aren't many. There aren't many that are going to be at that level. And again. Chris Paul takes care of himself. He does, but he's been hurt a lot throughout his career.
He's a little guy. He's 6 feet tall, and somebody could fall on him. I mean, seriously, the answer is, would I have done it? I sure as well wish I could have done it for 2 years and not four.
He was going to get 3 years somewhere else. He was definitely going to get 3 years. I think New Orleans was going to pay him three at 90. So I think Phoenix felt like the way we can keep him, we're going to get
caught in this legacy thing with him. Where are you on that?
I'm trying to think of where I'd put Chris Paul among the greatest players, right? I mean, I think I heard Barkley saying it the other day, and whether you like or don't like Chuck, like I do love the fact that he's pretty honest for the most part in what comes out of his mouth. It may be wrong, but he's going to say what he believes. And what he said was, listen, the reality is these days, he said, they did it with me. They're going to do it with everybody who hasn't won a title. Like, you're just thought of differently. That's all. Like, you are. And that's how it's going to be with Chris Paul. If you win one, you're in a different stratosphere. Then to me, I just don't know. Are you putting Chris Paul, is he better than John Stockton, his career?
The categories of guys we're talking about are Chris Paul, Steve Nash, John Stockton, Isaiah Thomas. Okay. Yeah. Here's where I differ with people on this. Okay. I don't think he belongs in the discussion because point guards don't belong in the discussion. The idea that a point guard can be the dominant, the number one factor is a fallacy.
Wow.
It is not the nature of the game. The nature of the game is that the most useful people are A, mid-sized players who have a variety of skill, mid-sized being defined as 6'5 to 6'9, maybe 6'10, that can play all phases of the game and affect the game, rebounding, passing, scoring, et cetera, or in the old days, dominant big men.
Not anymore.
The new big man models are different. They're more, it's the Jokic is the gold standard of the new modern big man. All right.
That's a rare
one. It's not the overpowering dominant physical force big man of yore. All right. Now, point guards are, it's unfair to put this burden on a 6 foot basketball player. That is not the nature of the game. And I wish people would stop it. I think I'm guilty.
I think I'm guilty of it, Bob, to be honest.
Rethink your premise, because I don't think point guards belong in this discussion. The only one who does happen to be 6'9", and he's an anomaly, and we've been waiting to see another one. And guess what? There isn't one yet.
Wait, Ben Simmons?
There will be.
Ben Simmons isn't that guy, Bob? You're not ready?
Jesus, Ben Simmons. I'm gonna have a moratorium on Ben Simmons bashing this week. We'll take a week. I won't.
It's seemingly either Kyrie or Ben every week, one or the other. Ben has allowed you to get away from bashing Kyrie. So that's okay. That's okay for a little while. But it's it's 1A and 1B with you, Kyrie and Ben.
But that's my premise, is that point guards are unfairly put in a position they don't belong in.
Okay, so having said that, does Chris Paul belong in the same conversation with one Isaiah Thomas, or is he in the same realm as John Stockton?
We come down to the who do you want? I got to play tonight. Are we talking about tonight? Are we talking about a year? Are we talking about a career? What are you talking about? You're talking about we're playing tonight, and which one do I want? And whose A game is the best? If they all bring their A games, okay?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Then Chris Paul is last on that list in my book. Isaiah's A game. Isaiah Thomas's highlight film is second in the only to Michael's in the last 25 or 30 years of playoff history. Only to Michael's, his highlight film. Okay. At his very best, when he figured it all out and stopped some of the bullshit that he played with earlier in his career, I would go. Nash, yeah. And I'd go Stockton, and then I would go Chris Paul, and in that order. Are those four?
Are we forgetting anybody else?
AI.
That's an interesting one.
AI is an interesting one. How about his A? I take his A game over.
His A game, you might take over anybody.
Yeah, I might take
over Isaiah.
AI did some stuff, and what he did. Look at that Philly roster. Every time look at that Philly roster that went to the finals, and tell me who else can you even name anymore?
Yeah,
you know,
he doesn't get as much. I feel like he just doesn't get as much credit as he deserved because of, again, people don't look at what he played alongside. He was electrified.
I have to backtrack. I may have to say that. I may have to put. I had forgotten him, but see that which is unfair. And I remembered. I'm glad I caught myself.
Isn't that crazy that we forget about him that easily?
I know it. It's not. It's a part of it. You know, because the whole shtick was interesting. But
yeah, but you know what?
Was anybody tougher? No.
No.
No. Ever tougher than AI? No.
Nobody. I mean, you take him over anybody if you said like. One game, I need a guy who's going to get 40, you know, a smaller guard who I know can just win the game by himself. You would take AI over any of those guys.
Yeah, a very close call with Isaiah, but you're right. But so Chris Paul's last on that list, and it's not fair. I mean, they put that burden on a 6 foot player. That's not the nature of the game. So that's where I think it's an unfair discussion for him.
The NBA Finals are behind us, Robert, and we've got a champion, and it is Giannis. I don't even want to say his name because I always screw it up, but I'll try it. Antetokounmpo, I guess. I mean, hopefully I get it right. I'm just going with Giannis, and I'm going with the fact that he is the most likable NBA champion we have seen in over a decade, Bob. Maybe ever.
Well, I don't know about ever. We'll have to think. You may be right. There's nothing not to like in my judgment here. He's sui generis on the court. There's never been anybody quite like him. The package that he represents at his size, the ball handling ability, the athleticism, I said last time, he's the greatest finisher I've ever seen. I think he's the greatest finisher of all time at that size, you know, with that size he has. It's like Dr. J on steroids, you know, I mean, he's 6 inches taller than Dr. J was and doing the same kind of thing, only better. you know? So in that regard, yeah. And he's likable. God, he's carried himself.
He's more likable. Who doesn't like him? Like, listen, Larry Bird, Boston loved him, but LA hated him. Magic, you know, Boston hated him. LA loved him. And there were other people around the country that probably didn't like Magic. I feel like Giannis, who doesn't, it's almost like sacrilegious to not like Giannis.
No, he's a wonderful package. He's humble enough. He's a team. You know, he's a team guy. I mean, you know, he carries himself great. I mean, and the whole story, the wonderful story, the Nigerian family immigrating to Greece, you know, and the whole upward
brothers,
the whole you know, right, upward mobility thing, you know, and especially when they drafted him, 8 years ago, isn't that something? Eight years ago.
Crazy.
You know, I mean, at 15, it was a reach, probably, you know, and look at what he's made himself into. So, yes. And the thing is, that's just, he did what is the ultimate athletic accomplishment, to play your best game in the most meaningful moment and carry your team. And that, I mean, a 50-point game and a clinching game, which every one of, you know, it was spectacular. And it's just, so yes, it's a, and overall, as far as the team's concerned, I got what I call justice. Justice being, as I interpret it, the team just should have won one. That's all. They should have won. And in the season, it was a truncated, you know, it was a marred season with injury. We discussed it to be outside of the playoffs. Whoever wins is going to have to listen to some whining in LA and some whining in Brooklyn. And it'll be somewhat legitimate, particularly in Brooklyn, although they didn't play together very much. We saw a glimpse of how good they could have been. Well, they'll put it together next year. The team that should have won one. That's it. And I'm happy with that. I'm content with that.
I think it's so cool, too, that in an era in which superstars have teamed up, that Chris Middleton and Giannis stuck together. They had pieces, obviously. John Horst did a tremendous job adding, you know, Drew Holiday and Bobby Portis and Bryn Forbes and some of these auxiliary pieces. P.J. Tucker was a huge addition. Connaughton a few years ago. But I feel like that's kind of what I appreciate most about Giannis, is that he stayed and did it his way. And I heard somebody, I can't remember who, on the radio earlier this week talking about the reason why Giannis may not have teamed up. And it's true. He didn't play AU basketball, Bob. He didn't establish these relationships that these kids do at 15, 16, 17 years old, where they know each other and they're hanging out with each other. He didn't have those bonds.
No, there's a lot we can, someday we'll talk about AAU basketball, but the fact is that that's a very good point. Just as on the subject of AAU basketball and avoiding it and it being a positive, the greatest example of that prior to him was Tim Duncan. Yeah. Tim Duncan did not have the attitude, did not have the all the bad things that can ensue. He was developed completely outside that scope. But now
Duncan was likable, but like he didn't want to deal with.
No, I'm just saying it's a whole different subject.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying.
It's not that, you know, I mean, you know, he was not accessible. You know, I'm saying he's an inaccessible personality.
Right.
You know, he wasn't a beloved personality for the American public because nobody knew him. He didn't want you to know him. You know, he didn't want. And that's both of these guys in different ways are totally happy in their own skin. I mean, you know, and Duncan did it his way, and this young man's doing it his way, and it's a more outgoing, you know, joyful external way. But you're right. The organic nature of this team was built in the old-fashioned way, without the piling on, you know, business. It's great, and I think we all appreciate that.
So I know you would empty your bank account to keep Marcus Smart, but were you surprised that Brad Stevens emptied Wick and Pags' bank account for Marcus?
Leslie, so, although it doesn't mean you can't trade them, you know. So I understand that, and I know what your fondest heart desire is, Jeff Goodman. But you know, I am a suck up, a sickle pant, a cult follower, a devotee, a fan of that young man's, and I am willing to put up with his foibles. I mean, you know, I don't like some of the shots either, guys. I don't want you to think I'm blind to his faults. I just love what he brings. And I maintain there is nobody quite like him. There's a few pests out there. Patrick Beverly's a pest. There's a few pests. but he's a 6 foot five pest with who's fearless and he does some things that help you win games. And yeah, of course I wish he were more polished on the offensive end. Brad apparently is not giving up on the idea that he can smooth out the rough edges in the offensive end, because, you know, he's already on a record of talking wanting the ball in his hands and all that stuff. So we'll see how this all works out. You know, it's very interesting given the dynamics of Jason Tatum and how he comes back from his summer experience, his gold medal experience. And, you know, then the Jaylen Brown coming off an all-star year and how he sees himself fitting in. So they all have to, if they don't come together with one common purpose, which is a win, and figure out the best way to do it, you know, it's sad because they're in their physical prime. They're all, I mean, this is not, you know, the prime isn't 30, 31. This is when they're never going to be friskier than they are right now. He's the oldest in a bunch. What was he, 26? So
27. And that was my question to you. At 27, can you change? Can you really alter your game when you've had these habits? And I've seen these habits from him forever. Okay. Like,
yeah,
I think they've gotten worse, not better, in terms of shooting the ball, making poor decisions on what is a good shot and what is not a good shot. I don't think Brad held him accountable enough for that. I don't know if you disagree or not. I wonder if Ime is going to hold him more accountable and figure out a way to kind of get him to and maybe it'll be easier because you're saying, here's the ball. It's not Kyrie's ball anymore. It's not Kemba's show anymore. It is your show. So now you don't have to worry about scoring, taking all these shots and forcing things. You're going to get more shots. You're going to be on the court more. You're not just coming in as an offensive stopper anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's very true. This is one of the many questions, the individual questions that we are looking to see answered by Ime. What is Ime's response to people? What's their response to him? I mean, we got a whole new thing. We got used to something for 7 years and now we got a new one, and it's a blank slate for all of us. It's a blank slate. This is his first head coach job. So nobody knows for sure. Yeah. We know he's got a pop pedigree and we know his official background, but you know, only, you know, we're going to find out what's really in his head and how he really goes about things when he's in charge. And this is, we don't know. But it's very important. I mean, these are your three best players, you know, and Marcus Smart is.
Is that good enough? Can you be good enough if Marcus Smart is your third best player, Bob? Can you be a team that can win an Eastern Conference title with Marcus Smart as your third?
You argued that he already was 2 years ago, or maybe you say he was the fourth best of Kemba, yeah. But Kemba was only temporarily the Kemba right. That they hoped for. He's been there at times, and they've gone into the Eastern Conference Finals. I like to think so, but it's. I'll tell you what. I'm dying of curiosity. I mean, I don't usually talk like this in the middle of August, but I wish training camp were tonight.
I want to see the Marcus Smart. I hate to call it an experiment, but it is an experiment as a starting de facto point guard. Now, again, the beauty of it in a way is if Marcus Smart doesn't work out, you have a guy behind him that should be just as hungry, if not hungrier, for different reasons, in Dennis Schroeder, that's saying to himself, you know what, at the first sign of this, and they should push each other. Marcus Smart just got paid. And it's really coming off kind of a subpar year for him, especially on the defensive end, you know, and he was hurt. And now you've got Schroeder who's saying to himself, like, I got to make money for next year. I got to find a way to get in the court. I don't know where Peyton Pritchard in his 92-point pro-am performance fit in. Bob, I want to know, I texted Danny Ainge. I said, Danny, were you guarding Peyton Pritchard? You know, the pride of Eugene, Danny Ainge. Were you guarding Peyton Pritchard in this performance?
I think a lamppost was that night. That just totally blows my mind. You know, I mean, come on. Hey, if you told me that Durant went off for 92 in an exhibition game,
sure.
I would have been dazzled. But
Peyton Pritchard? Come on.
I don't know. How many FGAs were there for that? I didn't see.
I love the box score.
I haven't seen a box score. I don't know
what it is. If you saw the box score, that might be the last box score you ever look at after this one. You know, this and Isaiah Thomas's, what did he have, 60? What did he have, 80? 70? Isaiah recently had like.
Oh, he had 80, I think.
80. I mean, come on. And then Nick Young tweets out how bad the pro-am's now. And then Jamal Crawford goes back at him and says, all right, they're that bad. You show up. Come on out to Seattle and play in our pro-am. Well, I saw Nick Young in the three-on-three, the big three thing. Mm-hmm. And Nick Young looks like he's put on about a good 20, 25 pounds.
Well, okay.
So I don't think he's showing up in any Seattle pro-am. But the pro-ams are, I mean, listen, if Isaiah Thomas, who can't get on a roster right now, is scoring 80, and Peyton yeah. Pritchard, who is the third point guard right now on an NBA team, is scoring 90, we know the pro-ams are.
I'm not, it's an amusing little subplot. Yes. I like Peyton Pritchard, and I think we're going to always like him, and he's yeah. never going to be in the All-Star game, but he's going to be around for 10 or 12 years, and he's going to be probably play for a couple, several teams, frankly, and be coveted and can be in a rotation of a championship team, frankly. I think he's
yeah, and he fits well with Mark. Like, I actually think you could play him and Marcus Smart together, because Marcus yeah. can guard at such a high level and Pritchard can shoot at such a high level. You could actually put them on the court at the same time. All right, the last thing, and then we'll get out on this. Luka Doncic signs a 5-year, $207 million max deal. That there's no surprise there. We knew that was going to happen because you can't ever let him walk if you're Mark Cuban. You're going to pay whatever you can to keep Luka in Dallas, keep him as happy as can possibly be. My question to you, I heard somebody say it the other day that he's the best player in the NBA today. Are you willing to go that far?
No, but I will go. I mean, not because I think I there's a guy named Durant that I think has to be considered to be the current reigning yeah. winner and champion. But I'm on record. I tweeted something that I regretted because it was a dumb choice of words that in praise in the spring of 20. In the bubblicious time of day year, he takes my breath away. I said, I'm a member of the fan club.
Yeah,
no question. Now he's not as good a 3-point shooter as he thinks he is.
Totally.
And I know my friend Tim Kalishaw is always reminding everybody on Around the Horn about that fact. But he can make it, and he has a penchant for making big ones. Ask the Celtics.
Yeah, he's fearless.
Okay. So, but what he's a 7-foot. He's almost Larry Bird. He reminds me of more than any now, but not as good a shooter, quite frankly. But,
right.
but he has Bird. Not. He has Larry Bird vision, Larry Bird feel sure. with yep. the game. So that's the highest praise I can bestow on any.
You take him today for player. This year. If I said to you, you can have, you're going to draft for this year, are you taking Luka or LeBron?
Oh, I'm taking Luka because I want to know. Give me the over and over under on a number of games you think LeBron will get through without getting hurt, which is not more than 70 maybe at the most. Yeah,
so you're only taking Kevin Durant. Are you only taking Kevin Durant right now?
I would still take. I think, well, based on what we just saw, he still has enough left. There's no reason
better
to think
defensively too. That's where KD.
Yeah. Yes,
that's where we don't talk enough about Luka. Is he's got to get to where he's average defensively.
No, that's exactly right. Thank you for me. That was a rather big omission on my
part. Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about offense only here.
Because KD was awful in college defensively and really not good coming into the league, but then he became a really, really good defender. And that's the difference. That's where, to me, KD doesn't get enough credit and is the best player in the world right now. Because, again, yes, for one game, if LeBron is 100% for one game or one series, I'm still taking LeBron over KD or Luka or everybody. But you've got to put that into context of LeBron. We don't know how healthy he is going to be for an entire season. So you'd roll the dice on KD.
I totally agree with you. We're not disrespecting the king. We're just being honest about where he is at this point in his career. And for a game, he can still do stuff. He still has the best all-around game that anybody could play. I don't doubt that. The other guy in the discussion, since you mentioned Luka, is Jokic. He's a triple double 7-footer. I mean,
but what he's not is somebody that can create his own shot.
Right.
That's where the difference. KD creates his own shot. LeBron can create his own shot.
He's definitely a five. I mean, right. He's a five, a modern five. Luka is a queen on the chessboard big.
He's just a one. I mean, he really is. Just put the ball in his hands and he can make people he can score off the like I think you have to be this day and age to be one of the top players in the NBA, one of the top like if you're starting a team, you gotta start it with somebody that you can put the ball in their hands. And they can make a play for somebody else and themselves.
Yeah, right. Okay.
No, and that's not really Jokic. He is, but he's not, right? Like, you got to give him the ball kind of in the post. It's different. It's different. He is special, obviously, winning the MVP. Everything about him, I know you love, everybody I think loves, but I would say the argument right now is Luka, KD, and LeBron. And I'm telling you, the argument is going to include Jason Tatum in 2 years.
Don't you love the fact that several mountains went to Mohammed to get that contract done?
Yeah.
Flying to Slovenia, boy, that shows you
what you got to do.
That is so funny. I haven't, I just love that part.
All right. Well, listen. We will be back next week for another episode of the Ryan and Goodman podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can catch a pod every single week on social media, on Twitter, on YouTube. You can also find it wherever you listen to your pods as well. And we'll see you next week.